This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with esteemed pollster Bernie Pinsonat from Southern Media and Opinion Research. He's out with a new survey about Louisiana and national politics, including the Obama-Romney race in Louisiana. Surprisingly close in the Pinsonat poll, and Governor Jindal's popularity is down to 51%, off 10% from the last survey from Bernie Pinsonat. Also, we'll discuss the duel in Denver tonight as President Obama and Governor Romney square off in the first of three presidential debates heading to the November 6th election. And Raymond Jetson, the former state lawmaker, is here to talk about a summit of importance in Baton Rouge featuring some of his Harvard fellows. All this today, but first the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 877-217-5757 works wherever you are. If you'd like to dial in and join the conversation with Bernie Pinsonat, if you're dialing locally, it's 297-5633. We also can be reached online via email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Bernie Pinsonat, longtime pollster, Southern Media and Opinion Research is the firm that he is involved with, along with, you're still with Buster McKenzie, right?
Sure.
Buster does all the work, right?
Right. I do the talking.
Okay, well, Bernie and Buster are considered to be outstanding pollsters, and for good reason, and the best-known pollster in Louisiana is Mr. Pinsonat, and he has been criticized through the years from all sides of the political spectrum, and this time around, he's getting some heat from the right, because his latest survey shows that Governor Jindal's popularity has dipped by 10 points in less than a year, from 61% to 51% popularity, and Bernie's poll also indicates that the presidential election could be more competitive than thought to be here in Louisiana. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, first of all, why is the governor at 51%?
Well, he's had a busy year. When you take on reforms such as retirement system in Louisiana, you change tenure for teachers, you're affecting a lot of families. I mean, when you're having to deal with budget cuts because of declining revenues, you affect a lot of people. You affect a lot of people in their attitudes, you know, and their ability to, they think they're going to be affected. So, I don't think anyone would believe out there that Jindal's popularity hadn't fallen, and it's fallen because he's been active on some of the stuff he promised to do, which, by the way, is not popular with teachers, state employees, families. There are a lot of groups out there that he has affected, and of course, they're displeased with him.
Well, he's at exactly the place where he finished in Baton Rouge last year. He got right at 50% of the votes in Baton Rouge, and he got, of course, almost two-thirds of the votes statewide in his run for a second term, his successful run. And this year, of course, he's not running, and in the earliest he can run again for governor would be 2019. So at this point, what do these numbers really mean? They've obviously caused some gnashing of teeth at the governor's office because they were the first out to say, to try to discredit your poll.
Well, every governor does that when a poll comes out saying that they've lost popularity. But I don't think anybody at the governor's office would bet me that any poll done on Jindal right now that shows he's lost popularity. This is a poll of all voters in Louisiana. It's slightly different because we're not, you know, most of the polls we run are geared towards voters who are likely to vote in an election. But this is a poll looking at policy and the consequences of budget cuts and the apprehension related to charity. So it's all voters. So it's you know, a lot of the surveys we do are geared towards talking to people who vote. But this poll is intended to look at all voters in Louisiana because what were we talking about? We're talking about health care cuts and budget cuts. So, you know, it's not the normal poll we run, but it's an accurate poll on how all voters in Louisiana feel about what's happening.
How many people were surveyed?
600.
600, and that's a good sample.
Yes.
And chronic voters?
No, we don't. This isn't chronic voters. Chronic voters, you're talking about only about 20% of all voters in Louisiana. Likely voters, you're getting up to about 55, maybe 60. This is all voters, because when you're talking about health care and budget cuts and the impact this stuff's having on Louisiana families, teachers' reforms, you're talking about changing the retirement. So a lot of that stuff's controversial, and it doesn't affect just likely voters or just chronic voters, and that wasn't our intent.
297-5633, if you'd like to join the conversation. Bernie Pinsonat also looked at the presidential race in Louisiana, and last time around, John McCain received more votes than any candidate in the history of Louisiana in any election, and President Obama was under 40%. His poll, Bernie's poll, shows the president is right where he was 4 years ago, but with 16% of the electorate undecided.
Correct.
So it's 45-39. What does that mean, if anything?
Well, if you look at the crosstabs and you look at Obama's lack of popularity, I mean, we have over 70% of Louisiana giving him a negative job rating. I mean, no one will ever carry Louisiana or win an election statewide with a 70-plus percentage negative job rating. Only 21% of, say, I mean, that, those are white, I'm talking about white voters. And those are the numbers. Since he's getting a 97-98% of all black voters, you have to then look at how many white votes will he get, because that's what you need to get over 50%. But he's only getting 21% of all white voters in Louisiana. You need upwards of 40%. So that's about where McCain ended up. I think he ended up at about 19%. So this is within the margin of error. His popularity or lack of it with white voters is the same as it's been for the last two or three years. I mean, a 70-plus negative job rating with all white voters, I mean, you're just not going to win an election statewide. No, not only Barack Obama, but anybody else.
Well, let's do the math on this, Bernie, and that's what you do for a living. The African-American percentage in Louisiana is what, 32%, something like that?
No, I think it's about 29%. This is all voters.
This is registered voters.
Right.
Okay, and you're saying he's getting 97% of that. So that's 28 out of 29. That would mean he would need 22 of the remaining 71, which would be 30.9%, about right at 31%. So he could win, the president, could win in Louisiana by getting 31% of the white vote. And at this point, it would seem that would be hard to do. But 31%, my goodness, that's the formula that Edwin Edwards used for many years. He rarely got a majority of the white vote.
Well,
he didn't even get a majority of the white vote against David Duke.
No, wait a minute. The difference is you're talking about the election. Actually, in elections, let me go back to the difference in a poll looking at elections. If this was an election poll, we would look at who votes in those elections. And the reason McCain did so well with a huge turnout was whites actually outvoted, I think it was close, right at 7%. There was a bigger turnout
among white voters than black voters.
Black voters, and so it swelled his numbers. This poll doesn't take that into account. In normal elections, say the governor's race, blacks drop down to 24% versus all the white voters who outvote them. So you have to look at, this is not a snapshot of a poll geared towards the electorate. It's all voters.
But in Louisiana, we do get out and vote for presidential elections.
Higher.
It was only 57% nationally last time, and it was over 70% in Louisiana as far as turnout.
Right.
And to give you an idea,
but this is a picture of 100% of the voters. When you drop down to 70, every time you drop down 3 or 4%, the Republicans tend to mean more. Their votes are more meaningful.
Well, President Obama last time around, despite getting less than 40% of the votes in Louisiana, got almost 900,000 votes in Louisiana, which means that he got about 200,000 more votes than Bobby Jindal has ever received in any race in Louisiana. So can we say that Barack Obama is more popular than Bobby Jindal in Louisiana?
Well, based on that logic, I guess you can.
Well, he did get a lot more votes.
Well, yeah, but look, let me go back to what I keep saying. The governor's race doesn't have a huge turnout like a presidential. You look at most elections in Louisiana that are not presidential, then the number of people voting drops dramatically.
Well, Bernie Pinsonat's poll shows that 45 Romney, 39 Obama, with 16 undecided. And tonight there is a duel in Denver. The first presidential debate will take place. And if you heard National Public Radio this morning, a composite of polls right now shows the president leading by 7 percentage points over Romney. As we head to the break, Bernie, do you think the race is over? Nationally?
Well, since I haven't read the polls, looked at them, I don't know what the numbers are. As a pollster, I tend not to comment on polls that I haven't read. And I never have done that.
Okay. 297-5633 is your number. We'll return more with Bernie Pinsonat after this brief pause, and we return to WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Richard Fisher is producing, and Raymond Jetson, the former state lawmaker, now a prominent pastor in our city, who's preparing for a summit involving many of his fellow Harvard fellows, coming later this month. And it'll be the third year that Reverend Jetson has done this, and we'll talk with him about that. But as we continue our discussion with Bernie Pinsonat, his latest survey shows that 68% of those who were questioned say the state budget has been cut enough, and another 89% say they're concerned about reductions to the LSU-operated charity hospital system. 79% saying the system will not be able to provide the same quality health care as before the cuts. Now, Governor Jindal's at 51% in the poll. That's down from 61% earlier this year. Where is Senator David Bruce Vitter in your poll? What is his percentage of popularity?
I think his what we call positive was about 52%. So that's down, but he's probably suffering from. And I think the poll shows that there are. Look, if you're a Republican, you depend solely on primarily white voters. But in Louisiana, in the survey, it does show that white Democratic voters are right now irritated. There is obviously a flux, and I'm sure Raymond can verify this. When you start talking about, and there's apprehension out there if you're white, African American, whatever else. When you start messing with charity, and there's announcements about massive budget cuts, and the governor will address this, but until he does, but when you're talking about reforming teachers, when you're talking about reforming all the state employees' retirement systems, there's apprehension out there, and I think this poll shows that the policies of the Republicans are causing them some grief, especially with white Democrats.
Dan downtown, you're on the air. Good morning, Dan. You're on with Bernie Pinsonat.
Yes, Mr. Pinsonat, with Jindal's emphasis on controlling the message and avoiding anything but softball questions from the press, do you believe it when he says, according to the Advocate, quote, polls are not my thing, end quote?
Well, no governor is it's not any governor's thing when a poll shows has declining popularity. But look, this has happened to Jindal before. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, we came out with a survey showing Jindal had fallen into the mid-50s. And subsequently, the next poll we did, he was back up, or I think it was like 61%. So, as I said,
What was the date of your poll?
I think it was in October.
Well, it wouldn't be October, would it?
About the same time
recent,
as this one.
Recent poll.
Two or three years ago.
But
we
the one you just released was...
No, the one
a couple of weeks ago.
This one is yesterday.
I know, but when were the respondents questioned?
Oh, they were. I think it was last week.
Okay, all right.
But so I'm saying that general popularity has fallen before.
But usually, governors and this governor in particular, they get a boost in the polls when they respond well to a crisis. And we had Hurricane Isaac, and the governor does well in these sorts of things. And yet his numbers are at 51%. So is this panic time at the Jindal Inner Sanctum, Bernie Pinsonat?
No, he's fallen before and he's come back. Now, and this is a different scenario Jindal faces. he can go out. I think he can do wonders for himself by telling people that the cuts to charity, if he can do it, are not going to mean less beds and not going to mean quality of health care is going to go down. But Jindal's limited now. There is a growing independence of the legislature. So as far as him proposing things that help him with popularity, those things are now limited because of the independence is not going to go along with anything and everything.
And that's why he is criticizing this poll, I'm sure, is that right now he could care less as far as the electorate because that can change and he's not up for election. But lawmakers look at polls and when they see that people are not responding to his ideas, his policies, the way they used to, then they may not be as apt to follow him.
I don't think this is going to make a big difference with legislators. Look, I work for a lot of legislators. I poll for them. They're telling me that Jindal's popularity is fallen because of the budget cuts, because of whatever else. So, I don't think that any legislator picked up the paper yesterday and because Jindal's popularity, they all know it's fallen. They all know that when the stuff he did related to teachers reform caused them misery. They ended up voting for this stuff, a lot of them, but you also had a lot of Republicans enduring reform, like the entire Southwest delegation voting against his reform. So they were catching heat back
then. Well, there's already been some erosion of support, and I think you're downplaying your own numbers, Bernie. I do think these numbers will resonate with some lawmakers.
Well, look, sure, Jindal uses his high popularity numbers to walk around saying that what I want is what the public wants, and that is, this poll shows that that is a limited return.
Now, surprisingly, Mary Landrieu, who in other polls conducted by you has not fared as well, is the most popular Louisiana politico right now, the Democrat from New Orleans, the pro-choice Mary Landrieu.
Yes.
How can that be, Bernie Pinsonat?
Well, first of all, she's not down here in the middle of the, she's not doing any cutting. She's not reforming.
Where is she? 61%?
She's at 61%.
So she's nine points ahead of David Vitter.
Yes.
Well, according to surveys, she's in a party that's unpopular. She's taken some positions that are unpopular in Louisiana, and yet she's running ahead of the pack, and she's up for election in 2 years. What does this mean?
Well, you have to look at the survey in terms of, this is a good survey for her. There's no question about it. But when she runs for re-election, she'll be facing a much different electorate than this poll shows. It'll be, it's 50, but there's nothing, if I'm Mary Landrieu, I'm very happy with these numbers. It means that nobody's mad at her. Not a lot of people are mad at her.
So does this mean Congressman Cassidy, who's taking a strong look at that race and has raised $1.8 million that he presumably can spend on the next race, which will likely be a run for the U.S. Senate, does he look at these numbers, Bernie, and say, I'm not going to the post?
No, there's a question in here that answers that for him. If you look at, and the poll continues to show, there's one vote that she cast that is the major obstacle to a re-election. And in this survey, it shows, would you vote for Mary Landrieu? She voted for health care in a flat. I mean, when you make a vote that 50% of the voters are unlikely to vote for you because of that vote, it's something that as somebody who advises elected officials on how they vote and how the public feels, I mean, she made a courageous vote, but it's certainly not popular. That's all the poll shows. Mary Landrieu thinks she made the right vote and damned the polls. But it is this poll and every poll anybody does on it and everybody looks at, yeah, she can get reelected, but her major obstacle facing her is her health care vote.
But yet, on the national level, health care has taken a backseat to other issues in the Romney-Obama race. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, look, there are two factors. If Obama gets reelected, not only me but everybody else says, it's probably not in their best interest. When I worked for Bennett Johnson, Jimmy Carter getting reelected really wasn't in our best interest. That's mm-hmm. That's how it works in Louisiana. So there are a lot of factors, and this election's still a long way away. It does show that Mary is in better shape moving into next year and closer to an election than she's been in the last 3 years. So it's good news for her.
Well, she's had three elections, and the all of them have been relatively close, although the last one she got 54% against right. John Kennedy. But the other two were nail-biters, and one, as you know, the 5,788-vote victory over Lewis Elwood Woody Jenkins. Woody still thinks he won. But, Bernie, it's always good to talk with you, and thanks for crunching the numbers and talking with us. And when's the next poll?
We will do our spring poll, which really zeroes in more on issues that the legislature and the governor will be looking at. So, yeah, in March of next spring.
I did get a request from a listener, and before we go to Reverend Jetson, Louisiana, what do you think as far as presidential? You obviously think that Mitt Romney will win here, but will he get 55? Will he get 60? What do you think? Will he get 51?
Well, if you give the remaining African American voters to the president, and you look at where the white voters go, they're probably 75%, 80%, 90% of them are going towards Romney. Look, this poll does show something. It shows that Romney is not overwhelmingly popular, and one of the things it shows is that his numbers aren't a lot better, because first of all, he hadn't campaigned here. A lot of the white social Democrats and Republicans don't like him. A lot of his vote of white voters is going to be more a protest against the president than they're going to vote against the president versus voting for Romney.
So,
and that's affecting
him. So give me a number. 52, 53?
I think there is a possibility. Well, what I'm saying is this poll shows the possibility of him doing as well as McCain isn't there. But I still think that he's going to win by a minimum 10%. It could be closer, but I think the odds are it's going to be higher.
So you're saying at least 55?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bernie Pinsonet. Representative Raymond Jetson, a man who served in the Louisiana legislature for many years, succeeding his father, Louis Jetson. Good morning to you.
Good morning, my friends. A pleasure to share with you again.
And now you are, of course, pastor of one of the largest churches in our community.
It's a wonderful, wonderful group of people that I have a chance to serve on a regular basis.
But the approach, as opposed to going to the Capitol and going to your church, I would imagine when you enter those respective places, the attitude is somewhat different.
It is, although some might argue that I made a living preaching at both places. Certainly, I appreciate the audience on Sunday mornings more so than I did the 104 I served in the House with on many days.
Well, you served with some real characters, didn't you?
I served. I'm certain every group of legislators mm-hmm. can point to some characters with whom they served and who made it especially interesting and memorable time. But there were a number of folks that mm-hmm. I served with who certainly made it a season of great memories for me.
Well, we talked about Woody Jenkins. He was one of your colleagues.
Not only was he my colleague, I had two seatmates in the legislature. For my first 8 years, my seatmate was Lewis Woody Jenkins. And for my last 8 years, my seatmate was Mayor President Melvin Kilpolder.
How about that?
Interesting combination.
And, of course, Woody at that time was a Democrat.
He had a D behind his name.
Did you get along with him?
Yes, and I still consider Woody a dear personal friend. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are a number of things upon which we have disagreed, but much to the chagrin, I would think, of his constituents and mine at the time, there were a number of things upon which we agreed.
Well, we'll talk about Raymond Jetson's gathering with his Harvard Fellows coming later this month, the third one that he has hosted here in Baton Rouge. But you also served when David Duke was elected in 1989. That must have been quite a time in the Louisiana House.
Yeah, it was an interesting time, and I lost a number of arguments, if you will, with my colleagues on how best to deal with Mr. Duke's presence in the legislature. I think that some of the actions that were aimed at David made him a lot more relevant to the legislative process than he in fact was. The efforts to not allow him to be seated and the continual personal attacks and bringing up his past. The bottom line is that David Duke was a less than mediocre legislator who had very limited knowledge of the process, very little interest in the process. It was really a platform for a larger agenda, and we made that platform more viable for him by some of the actions that were taken.
Put him in the back of the room, right?
Whenever the, yes, right by the media. And whenever the issue became managing the legislative process, David was unbelievably inept. I personally took great joy in managing the process in such a way as to make his efforts meaningless. And they became quite frustrating for him because he was anticipating the typical frontal attack that he gets or has received all of his life. And I chose one that was based upon the rules of the House and the procedures of the legislature, which, oh, by the way, he probably never took time to read. And so he found himself being defeated on a number of instances.
Well, we will return with Representative Raymond Jetson, now Reverend Jetson, and we will talk with him about the gathering of Harvard Fellows in Baton Rouge in a few weeks. All this, but first, the return to WRKF. This is Jim Engster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and we continue our discussion with Reverend Raymond Jetson, former state lawmaker. You were in the Louisiana House for how many years?
1984 to 1999, about 15 and three-quarter years.
And then, as noted, you started your church, and at one point you went off to Harvard University.
Yeah, I did what ended up being 2 years, Jim, a year as a fellow and then a second year as a senior fellow in the Advanced Leadership Initiative at Harvard, which is a kind of third level of higher education that's focused on taking people who have done some things in life and are now transitioning to a different stage and giving them some tools and inspiration to undertake efforts that are intended to create positive social change.
And as a result of that, you have brought many of them back to Baton Rouge, where these people, who are, of course, leaders in their respective communities all over the United States, they gather and what do you talk about at these growth summits?
Well, literally, they're from all over the world. In 2010, we had folks from Germany, Europe, China, and all over the United States. But the summits and what was the byproduct of the first visit in 2010 was an initiative called Better Baton Rouge, and people mm-hmm. can learn more at betterbr.org, betterbr.org. Better Baton Rouge, which is an initiative that's focused on citizen-led innovation. And so we had some conversations led by the fellows, and what came out of it were some areas of focus, access to healthy food, improving education, mm-hmm. And building a stronger sense of networks in the community. And this year, on October 19th, we'll be back at the old state capitol from 1 until 4, and we're going to talk about some of the projects that started in 2010 that are now ready to be implemented, including a portal on the library's website that's focused on mapping the assets of our community and allowing neighborhoods to communicate and build stronger networks, a mobile market that the wonderfully talented people at Breda and the Redevelopment Authority and other entities have been working together to create a greater access to healthy food in communities where there are food deserts. In addition to that, sure. there's community gardens that have been done and a number of wonderful things. And so this year we're expecting about 10 fellows, including three from the current class of 2012, who are looking to see how they can begin to build relationships in Baton Rouge.
It was the third Better Baton Rouge Summit, and the host is Representative Jetson, October 19th at the Old State Capitol. And for those who would like to be there,
they can go to betterbr.org and click on the tab that says Igniting Action and just put in their name and email address and submit it, and we will follow up with them. But they will have RSVP'd for the summit by simply filling mm-hmm. in that form and submitting.
Well, as mentioned tonight in Denver, Mitt Romney and President Obama will square off in the first of three presidential debates, and it's been a tough campaign to this point and likely to get even tougher in the next 34 days. What's happened to civility in politics?
I think it's almost non-existent, and those who are the messengers of civility are in some ways criticized as being soft or lacking backbone or not having a particular position. I think, unfortunately, gone are the days where we can disagree philosophically without being personally disagreeable with one another. And I think that the vitriol that characterizes today's political debate has contributed in great deal to the continual dysfunction and divisiveness that we find in the country.
Well, a few days ago, we heard from Madonna, who gave her support to the president, and that's probably support that President Obama could live without. Here is the actor Ted Nugent, who, of course, has made the rounds through the years. He's been a guest of yours truly, but he is supporting Mitt Romney and is a vicious opponent of President Obama.
Because I tell you this right now, if Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year.
Now, that kind of rhetoric, it has a price. And what does it do to the attitude of the people at large?
I think for the wise and reasonable people of the world, of the country, you find it terribly distasteful and way over the top. Unfortunately, for the fringe element, regardless to political persuasion, for the fringe element, it only serves to incite a greater antagonism and negativism amongst people who are on the fringes. You know, the bottom line for me is, you know, who gives a rip what Madonna or Ted Nugent thinks? You know, are either one of them representative of the lifestyle and the challenges that real people face? And so at what point do we take a moment and really look at the real issues that impact me, that impact my checkbook, that impact my family, that impact my quality of life and those of my neighbors, and who is best equipped or to provide leadership to this country to make those things better? But, you know, that's so far down the radar in terms of the public dialogue that it's tragic.
Well, and Richard notes that Mr. Nugent is better known for his singing than his acting. This lack of civility that we are discussing, it permeates all facets of life in America. Yesterday in New Orleans, an Alabama man, Brian Downing, pleaded guilty to obscenity charges and faces a 2-year prison sentence for rubbing his genitals on an unconscious LSU fan in a Bourbon Street restaurant after Alabama beat LSU 21-0 in the BCS national title game on January 9th. This is something that was caught on videotape, and maybe a good thing that it was, but it indicates that not only in politics, but in sports, people are getting lathered up about things that are, in the overall scheme of things, particularly in this case, in our world continues whether LSU wins that game or Alabama wins that game. But what causes this kind of hostility between fans of two schools in the same conference?
Well, and I guess the only hot button that we have left after this is religion, now that we've talked about politics and sports. I think it's a huge example of the misplaced values that we find here in this country. You know, I certainly watched the game and was pulling for LSU to be victorious. But I just think it demonstrates further the over-the-top attitude that surrounds things that really won't make a difference in the long-term well-being of our lives.
And you speak as a former player for the great Eddie Robinson at Grambling State University.
I played the sport and had some diehard games. I don't think any were more passionate than the Southern University Grambling games and the Bayou Classic. But I don't know that any of them I ever played in would have led folks to act in that manner.
Yeah, of course, every year the game's in New Orleans, and in previous years you couldn't get a seat. I've never known anything like this to happen.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, to the credit of these two fine institutions, I don't know that anything of this nature has occurred before. But I think it just highlights, Jim, the dysfunction that's present and why I believe it's so critical for people, for people who believe that our country deserves better, that our state deserves better, that our community, our city deserves better. That's why people have to come together and begin to accept ownership of some of the issues which permeate our communities, and how do we begin to do things that make a difference.
The Better Baton Rouge Summit, hosted by former representative and now Reverend Raymond Jetson of Star Hill Baptist Church, will be October 19th at the Old State Capitol, and 10 Harvard Fellows will be converging in Baton Rouge to discuss projects they've implemented and have initiated in other places that could be workable here. Right. And once again, website
it's betterbr.org, and just click on the Igniting Action tab and fill out the form and submit it, and we'll have your name and email address.
Well, thank you, Reverend Raymond Jetson, for joining us today, and thank you for your support for WRKF and for this hour of programming. We hope you'll show your support throughout the week as we seek to pay the bills on WRKF.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF. For the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.